I'm Leslie Torres.
And I'm Bronna Marks.
And together we co-host West Coast Mix and Bounce.
For all things West Coast NBA.
That's right, we cover the Lakers, Clippers, Warriors, and yes, the Kings and the Suns.
When there's something good to talk about, we have a new and fun episode every 2 weeks where we break down the craziest headlines in the NBA that pertain to the West Coast teams.
We are such a niche podcast that you won't find anywhere else. I mean, two girls with experience in the field talking West Coast basketball. Yeah, you want to listen.
This is West Coast Mix and Bounce, brought to you by LAFB Network.
Welcome back to West Coast Mix and Bounce, guys. We are almost towards the playoffs. Postseason is pending, and we're going to talk through the Pacific Division and what's going on and how the playoff picture looks as of today. As you know, I'm Bronna, and I'm here with
Leslie.
And we're going to jump right in. I'm just going to start with rankings first because every West Coast team that we talk about is back to back to back in the Western Conference rankings. We have the Kings at 3, the Suns at 4, the Clippers at 5, the Warriors at 6, and the Lakers at 7. First, we definitely want to give a big shout out to Russell Westbrook. We've seen him through a lot of his journey. The Clippers are 5 right now in the Western Conference, 41-37. And that is obviously a big contribution of Russ and him being confident. So where did they go from here?
That season high performance. We need to give him his props for that season high performance. He did it without Paul George, without Kawhi Leonard. They were both out that game. As we know, PG has been out, so we'll see if he makes a comeback. Kawhi was personal reasons, so we'll leave it at that. But he had 36 points. He had a perfect game from 3, 5 of 5, which is surreal. And also, yes. I think he only had like one turnover. Or like less than 5 for sure. One turnover, I think, is what it was. But props to Russell Westbrook, right? And he did that versus the Grizzlies. Not a short-handed Grizzlies at that. They were full-on with John Morant, with Dylan Brooks. They both, the Grizzlies, for Ja, he had 36 points. Brooks had 30 points. So all the Grizzly starters finished in double figures. So it wasn't an easy game at that for Russ to score that much. So props to him. Props to keeping the Clippers up there while Kawhi and Paul George are out. But what a great game from Russ. I feel like it's crazy to see that he finally has that one good game towards the end of the season. Yeah. But hopefully this is where the momentum picks up for us. He can maybe bring it on to playoffs and we get to see a playoff Russell Westbrook version of that. So that would be amazing. Just to, you know, to put some, like, respect on his name. Remember who he is. Like, remember when he was, like, doubling, triple-doubles, like, all the
you
time.
You know, leader. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, so it just feels nice to talk about Russ, something positive that he's doing. We're all about positivity. I hope so.
Sometimes. More sometimes. Drama, but we have to pause like the drama. And highlight the positivity because I think the basketball community all throughout has been waiting for Russ to kind of hit a stride. He's, you know, he's been through 3 teams in the last like 3 years. So it's just kind of very hectic for him to see him in that viral photo kind of go through social media of him laying down on the ground, screaming, like, you know, feeling that intensity, proud of himself, feeling, yeah, exactly. Feeling happy that, you know, he can still produce. And the fact that he did it, like you said, without those top 2 teammates, that's what these teams are looking for. They're looking for somebody to really step up when their prime players are not in the lineup. And that only helps with their depth. That helps with their come up, you know, through the postseason. We're really going to see, like, how things go. Just with that game, they were 22 of 37 from 3, and that was with obviously help from Westbrook and Robert Covington. So seeing those players
step up, he came through. He was 7 of 7 from 3. I was like, what the heck?
27 points.
I was like, whoa, for like one player to be perfect. Okay, and 5, that's 5 free throws, but 7.
Yeah,
those are Curry numbers, sir. But yeah, the Clippers did that. They ended the Grizzlies 7-game winning streak. So all around, it was a really good game for them. I feel like you said, where are they in the standings? 4th or 5th?
Fifth right now. Oh, 6. They're 6. Okay, they did have games yesterday, 6. So I haven't updated my
rankings.
Let me see. I know. But, like, that was a positive win. Unfortunately, they're, like, they've lost twice already in a row.
Yeah, they've had some really tough, like, losing streaks. And, obviously, that's something we've touched on before as far as, like, can they go through a seven-game series and, like, make it out on the other end? You know, with only a few games left, I don't know who they have up next. Like, so everybody has next, about they have 5 games.
The Lakers on Wednesday, and then after that, they have the Blazers and the Suns. So, Suns is looking kind of tough. Lakers, I don't know. It could be tough, but they're on a 2-game losing streak. So, they lost to the Pelicans.
Oh, gosh.
I know. And while we were just praising them for beating the Grizzlies, they went on to lose the second game against them just...
Yeah. So yeah, right. As of yesterday, the Pelicans sneaked in above the Lakers, and then the Clippers dropped down to 6. So a little bit of a mix up.
It's a whole mess down there. It's crazy.
Yeah, everybody has like one or half or a quarter of a game in between each other. So as long as they stay, you know, out of the playoff bubbles kind of situation, the play-in. You know, at least they can just start right up as soon as the postseason happens, instead of trying to get through another barrier or another obstacle to really like help them have a long run. But, you know, hopefully Russ really, that's really like flipped his switch, and he can really, you know, surprise some people in the postseason. We'll see.
I know.
Outside of the Clippers, though, we have a few other teams that are, you know, doing some things. I guess we could work ourselves up. The Suns right now are 42-35. And they have D-Brook. KD is back. They're on a 5-0 streak when he's in the lineup.
They definitely missed Kevin Durant. Yes. It's like night and day with KD on there. I was like, oh, my God. Like, they cannot afford to lose Kevin Durant period. No. They cannot afford to lose him in the playoffs. And it really does make a big difference seeing KD on the floor and how their dynamics just change, especially with Devin Booker. Like, they play off each other so well. And I'm just like, okay, with that dynamic, I can definitely see them going all the way.
Yeah, and it takes the pressure off of Book, because if you look at the last like 11 or 12 games, Book has led every single game in points, except for the most recent game where, you know, KD is back and he's back into his play against Denver. KD had 30 points. I believe D-Book had like 27. But still, like, having that dynamic, being able to lean on each other for high scoring, like, you know, contributions, they don't always have to rely on Book. Like, now they have KD, who is he's a key player. He's a champion. He's had some rough years, you know, as most stars do. But I think he's really meshing with the Suns surprisingly more than maybe I would have thought. Maybe most people. I don't know.
Honestly, yeah, I feel they're doing great. And because of KD, I feel like that's kind of like the big thing right there. Because of KD, that they're able to be in this 5-game winning streak, that they're kind of able to... I would say cement kind of their fourth seed, because up next, their schedule seems pretty easy. They got the Thunder, they got the Spurs, they got the Nuggets.
Oh, they have, I think, those last games. Three.
Yeah, Lakers and Clippers. So I'm just like, it's there. The vibe is there. We're definitely all excited to see Kevin Durant and LeBron James kind of match up on this upcoming Friday.
Yes.
So I'm excited for that one. Win or lose, I just want to see them again.
It's going to be the first time they face each other in, like, I don't know, like, several years. I saw it, like, floating around. So it's definitely highly anticipated. And, I mean, why would you not want to see these two stars, like, really actually compete against each other, like, full, healthy teams? Hopefully the Lakers are healthy. We'll get there. But, no,
it's
going to
be competitive because,
for sure.
Well, the Suns are, if they keep winning, they're going to be a good fourth spot. But for the Lakers, they need every freaking win they can get. So I feel like that game is going to be so competitive. The Suns are not going to want them to continue or improve their record, depending on how the next games go. And LeBron is just going to be like, we're making the playoffs. We're making the play-in. We're doing something. So
something.
It's going to be such a great game. I'm gonna try to get tickets because that sounds like a really fun game, but we'll see if I can.
Listen, feel like it's gonna be expensive
now.
No, for real. Like, you know, sneak me in. I could just right? like shadow behind you and be like,
oh my
just...
God. I'm like, do I have any lift anywhere to get me a ticket?
That's yes, not that expensive. Any kind of leverage. No, like, you know, to what our the... listeners, if you have any more like anticipated games, you know, just like let us know. Make sure you follow us on social media. Make sure yes. you know, because we love to have those conversations.
we do. And I feel like the Suns are right there. Like, they're in a good spot. They're in the fourth seed with Kevin Durant. It's looking really good for them. I'm not gonna say it's looking great. I just have to maybe watch the next few games and maybe I can change my mind. But I feel like they're up there.
Yeah, they're healthy, and that's a lot to say.
Yes. And looking at the standings, the up next are the Kings. So the Kings are kind of the only team in our division that have secured
clinched first time position. Since 2006 that they've this clinched a playoff
flowers,
position.
Flowers, because they, they're sitting third in the standings right now. They haven't made the playoffs since 2005-2006 season.
16-year drought.
As long as we've done this podcast, we've always been on them. They've had not the greatest luck in the draft, not the greatest choices for front office, not coaches. The coaching, not the best trades. And even to their last trade, we were just like, I don't know if that's going to work out. We were wrong. It worked out.
I love an underdog, so I feel like at the beginning of the season, I was like, yeah, maybe the Kings can, but they blew me out the water.
I remember that.
I was thinking like 7th, 8th, 9th seed, not like top 3, you know what I'm saying? Like
playoff contender. Serious contender.
De'Aaron Fox came out and said during one of his interviews, he was like, you know, this is more than what we expected, so to speak, and there's so much more to do. And there is, because at the end of the day, they're a very young postseason team, and they're going to have to go through years and decades of experience with these other teams that are also going to be facing them. You know, not only is it the first time since 2006, but they had one of the longest droughts. They had the longest drought in the NBA, and then also among the Major League Baseball, NFL, and NHL. So they had a lot of adversity against them for a very long time. So, but the players are young, they're peppy, they have really great chemistry. Their coach is coaching the shit out of them. Like, they're 23-14 on the road, which is the 13th best in the NBA. That's more to speak than a team like, say, like the Warriors, who were on like a 12-game losing road streak. The longest losing streak they've had all season is 4 games. So they can last a 7-game series, 50-50 chance, you know?
Dude, that's crazy. The longest drought, like, in all of sports.
For most of, like, 75% of major leagues, yeah.
That's crazy. That's what it kind of feels like. But, you know, again, props to them because it's finally, like, they've made the right choices. And they are in this amazing spot. We thought it was going to come back slowly, like, oh, okay, they're in the play-in, like... Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe it's different. No, they're like, no. This is it. And they made it all the way to the third freaking division.
Okay. I have to ask, though, like, what are the chances that they actually win the whole thing?
See, I don't know. Because I'm looking at their schedule right now, right? And so I feel like the Warriors are kind of like little tricky teams that are still kind of in there. If they can beat the Warriors, I've seen them beat the Suns. And to me, that was like, okay.
They beat the Clippers, too, which is, also like.
I feel like the Nuggets and the Warriors, which are their last two games of their season, I feel like if they can get a solid win against them, or at least keep it close, they're serious contenders to me. Because then I have to look down the list, and who is ahead of them? The Nuggets and the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are also a young, little scrappy team. The Nuggets, I feel, have more maturity, a little bit more. They got Jokic. They got a little bit more. We've been here vibes before. The Kings don't. So that's the only thing I would put behind them. But
they don't have any MVPs, Defensive Player of the Year. You know, I mean, like
they have like scrappy players. Like they got that energy. They got that young, that youngness. But I feel like the Nuggets have been here before. They're just like,
I feel like the Kings could be more fragile, you know, like it, when the pressure is really on, like, how are they really going to react? Like, are they going to skid away? Are they going to shy away? Or is it going to make them even stronger? Like, obviously, again, rooting for the underdog. I would love to see it. It would be great. But I think it's going to be hard, like, as the season wraps up, which is crazy to say that we're already at the end of the season. It's been April, so long. Yeah, it's been so long, but it felt also so short. And we're defining these teams literally in the upcoming week. And they're all, like I said, have a game and a half or so in between each other. So we're really not going to see it round out until probably that first round of playoffs. Like, it's really going to define the teams, who they are and what they can do.
Yeah, that totally makes sense to me. But I mean, anything could happen. It is the playoffs. Anything could happen. Right. It's the best out of seven. So
to work our way back. To work our way back down, we have the Warriors, which is crazy that I really didn't have much notes for them because they've been just doing, they were like the Clippers in our last episode. Like, they're just doing the same situation.
Yeah, it's like winning and then losing, then winning, then losing. So it's just like, very inconsistent, I would say. But they are winning against the teams they're supposed to. They beat the Spurs, they beat the Pelicans, they beat the Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. It's just like, okay, those are supposed to. You're supposed to beat those teams. They Easy beat ones. The 76ers, which I was like, okay. Something. Yeah, okay. But basically, I'm with you. I'm like, that's about it. I haven't really seen anything like crazy. That's just like, oh my God, these are the Warriors of the past. These are real playoff contenders. I don't know.
It's giving very like mid right now. Like, at least they have their star players. Yes. You know, they have Steph, they have Klay. Wiggins is still out. Andre is still out. Draymond is Draymond. So
Draymonding.
Yeah, literally. I really think, not to, you know, hit the head of a dead horse like over and over, but that situation at the beginning of the season when Draymond literally beat the shit out of his teammate, I just don't know if they ever really got all the way past that. And Draymond's going to be a free agent at the end of all of this. So it leaves like a lot of uncertainty for them. So I think that's just something to note. Like, are their heads in the right spaces to really win again? Like, can they really bring it back out amongst all the internal issues that they've had this season and the unbalanced, the winning, you know, not being able to win on the road? Like, that's not the Warriors that we know. Like, it's not giving strong.
Yes. I feel like you're right. When that situation happened, the momentum pretty much changed. And it's just like, you don't look at them the same as you did before. It was usually like very much, we're all in this together vibe. We're brothers. Like, win or lose, like, we can do it. And then it's just like, oh, when you guys are fighting each other, we're not really buying into that story anymore. So
yeah,
it kind of feels that way. And it sucks because then it's being translated into their games. And it's just like, well, we don't really feel that bond, that momentum, that y'all, that we're going to do this.
That spirit. Excitement. So, like,
yeah,
that energy.
Because you always want to root for the Warriors. I feel like that's kind of been the vibe.
Yeah.
You always want to root for them, even like with Klay out, with Curry out. You're just like, oh my God. Like, you. But this time it's just like, I guess. Yeah. If y'all can make it, cool. If y'all can't, then cool too.
Cool. Yeah. I think if they don't make it far, it may look like a very big rebuild situation.
Yes.
Which is scary. I feel like
we've been stuck on the Curry, Klay, Draymond.
The Splash AD. Brothers, Splash Dre. Yeah.
It's just like, it's run its route. Like, we're done.
Yeah. That's true. Change is inevitable. It's slow, but it's inevitable.
But we'll see. You know, the Warriors have never really outed themselves. Are they the reigning champs?
Yep. Which is crazy to say, but they don't look like it.
Well.
Yeah.
That was a. I feel like that says everything.
Yeah, that was like a very high moment for them, and they've come a very like long way, I feel like, since then, and it's not really going up. It's kind of just kind of been like
they're right in the middle. I mean, I would not, I guess, yeah, I guess they're right in the middle. Unless something crazy and drastic happens in the playoffs, like they all of a sudden like come together and like have this big kumbaya moment and they're just like, ah, we're gonna win. Second round.
Another team though that is embracing the changes that is going on with them are the Lakers.
What? Let's talk about it because even I'm just like, wait. So LeBron is back.
Back.
He's back.
He healed like Superman, apparently. He
didn't doctor, even need surgery. We need to find this doctor because he's the LeBron James of doctors, according to LeBron James. And I can see it. I see it. Because I was like, okay. For you to come back from like a injury that's required, surgery is required, like props.
And or to play, highly, highly recommended.
Yeah, and to continue playing at that level, like, nothing's wrong. Okay, either LeBron is superhuman or is this doctor. I don't know. Yeah. We might have actual proof that LeBron is not human.
Right. But, I think the age is showing on LeBron. I don't think he's had over 20-ish points since he's returned. And I feel like they've been leaning on AD way more lately, even with LeBron back, even with, you know, D'Angelo Russell in the lineup and all these new guys that seem to be kind of finding their flow. LeBron has definitely taken a backseat. I just, you know, but I don't think they can win without him being LeBron. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that. But I also do like that they are leaning more towards AD. Because I feel like that's where he shines. That's where he really comes through. Like, he wants that pressure. He wants the ball. So the more you lean on him, I feel like the more he's actually shown up. The last game versus the Timberwolves, the last game versus the Bulls. Like, I feel like AD kind of shows up. And you can tell when he doesn't, they lose.
Yeah. And when he back-to-back games with 38 points. I mean, and the playing on a twisted ankle situation.
Yeah.
He's given very much like, it feel like LeBron like injected him a little bit with some king lineage or something. Like, he's next up. I don't know. Maybe he already crowned him in the back with the Illuminati. Who knows? But it seems honestly, like AD has really, and I mean, that's what the Lakers need. If it's not LeBron, then it has to be AD. Like, if they really want to win, then that's just how it's going to have to go. So everybody's going to have to play their role. As a LeBron fan, though, in his last few years, I feel like as a true like NBA athlete, I want to see him go off. Like, and obviously playoff Bron is like a whole nother kind of situation. So I really hope this whole foot thing doesn't hurt him in the long run with him trying to be extra strong and extra Superman-ish and whatever injections they're putting in him, and the LeBron James of feet, whatever, that whole team. I just really hope that it doesn't hurt him in the long run, because when athletes come back very quickly from an injury, it could lead to another situation. So
for sure,
fingers crossed, knock on wood, all of that good mojo. And
I feel like we've seen that happen too with AD. I feel like a few times he's returned when he wasn't ready, and it just led to a worser injury. I don't even think, sorry, worser is not a word, more worse injury.
Yeah, I mean,
more serious injury, I guess I should say. Yeah, that would take him out longer. So you're totally right, they should really be on top of that, not going off too much. But I feel like we have time. The Lakers have time. They got the Rockets, fans, they got the Jazz Lakers, twice, yep. Right? They got the Clippers, they got the Suns. I feel like those two games are going to probably be the ones that to watch. But they should also win versus the Rockets, win versus the Jazz. Because the Lakers are very much, they lose to teams they shouldn't. And they lose to teams, they lose to teams they shouldn't. So it's just like, just pull
and it messes with their ego, like you can tell.
It does.
I believe after that 38-point game, the most recent one of AD, you know, that set them above 500 for the first time. I've seen the stats different, like for the first time in the season and then the first time since January. But I believe they've been over 500 before this season. But like I said, AD had that really big game. They've won 5 of their last 6 games, and they're calling it kind of like a redemption road tour situation, because they're on the road for like 5 or 6 games, which is hard. That's a lot of games to be traveling and expect to win. And also, like, you know, have to get treatment and, you know, figure out your time zone and get your sleep in and all that stuff. So if they are able to pull it off and win against teams like Houston and the Jazz that they lost to earlier on in the season, and really get in that mentality and solidify that, I think they have way more of a better chance going into the playoffs if they end the regular season like on a very high note. Because we know the Lakers, like, that franchise, the ego is big, the pride is big. So if it's not equaling out, like, there's drama and there's issues and people are yelling at each other and it's like a whole mess. And you don't want that in the postseason, because that's when you're closest to your goal of winning it all. So
I think you summarized that perfectly, because like it's more than just winning to be in the playoffs. You got to win for your teammates. You got to win for yourself. You got to win for the city. You got to win for the egos, because that's literally what happened with Russ. They were not winning. It was like drama. You want to avoid all that.
Pat Bev.
There's so much drama with the Lakers.
They were using me as a fork and not a spoon, or whatever he was saying.
What does that mean?
Pat, like, just mind your business.
I want to be a spatula in my next life. Thank you. What the heck, dude? I don't get it.
I mean, I understand, I guess, to a small point what he may have been trying to say, but they seem to be working out, so maybe they didn't need your spork
situation. They didn't
situation.
Need the fork.
Yeah. Spork. Maybe he was a spork and he doesn't know it.
He was a plastic utensil at best. I'm just kidding. I don't understand what he meant. But, you know, I know what he meant, but I'm just like, okay, why? Why is fork in a spoon? I don't know. You could have gone so many other analogies. But anyways, drama likes to follow the Lakers. So I'm not excited about that. But it's something's going to happen. And I feel like the more you win, the less the outside noise kind of messes with you and your team. So they're just going to be focused on winning and making the play-in. And anything can happen, because I'm looking at these schedules. I don't think Phoenix is going to lose, but the Warriors might drop a few games. The Clippers might drop a few games, especially without, like, PG and Russ. So the standings look very different every single day that they
every
play.
Every day, yeah.
So they can either – I feel like they can find themselves even out of the play-in if
– yeah.
The thing
when we just talked on our last show 3 weeks ago, they were in the 11th spot. But before, right, a week before that, they were 7, and now they're 7 again. So, and we, like, 5 games is a lot to end the regular season. Anything can happen, especially on the road.
Especially, and I feel like they have that advantage, because the Lakers have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, compared to the Clippers that only have technically three games left. So where they stand is where they're going to stand, and then the Lakers can actually come and, depending on how the Clippers stand, they can come and, like, get that top spot, or, like, I don't know. It's just so much can happen. Yeah. So, and it's crazy, especially because it's the Western Conference. But to kind of, like, put it on perspective, they still got to beat an Eastern Conference team in the finals. And from what I've seen in the East, they got the Bucks, they got the Celtics, they got the 76ers. Those are 3 tough teams. I'm looking at our Western Conference. I don't know.
They've been doing well.
Like, the Kings, you think the Kings, the Suns, the Warriors, the Clippers, or the Lakers, which one of those teams has, like, the biggest odds to beat one of those other teams?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I would say that I believe the Kings have beat probably not every team, but almost every team at least once this season. Just off the fact of their record alone, you know, being one of the best in the league right now. I think the Bucks, so the Nuggets are the only team that have played over 50 games right now in the Western Conference. On the other hand, you have the 76ers, the Celtics, and the Bucks in the Eastern Conference that have already played over 50 games and won over 50 games. So, you know, but we've seen it, like, you know, sometimes the Eastern Conference competition is not as strong going into the postseason as the Western Conference. Their, like, sense of competition. But I think it could go either way right now. It's a big 50-50 chance on who
from what division is going to, you know, really actually last the longest and win it.
That's what I'm saying. That's the thing to me. I'm just like, okay, the East is kind of the East is pretty easy, but then when you get to the top three, they're just like, oh, those are hard teams to actually beat, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like, can our Pacific Division teams, can they actually win a 7-game series against them? I'm not so sure. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't know, but maybe the Kings, like you said. Maybe
I think
it could literally be their season.
The individual players in the East, like when, you know, you look at the Cavs, you think of oh my God, why am I blanking on his name? Dame. You think of Damian Lillard? Am I tripping?
On the Cavs?
He's on the Cavs right now, right?
No.
Who's on the Cavs right now?
Damian Lillard is
no, not Portland Damian. Not Damian Lillard. See? Oh my God.
You know Mitchell? Who I'm
Yes, Donovan Mitchell.
I think you that's think what of- you meant.
Yes, that's what I meant. Sorry, guys. That's so bad. Not Dame. Donovan Mitchell. Mitch, mm-hmm. You think of the 76ers. You think of Embiid. You think of the Celtics. You think of Jason. You think of the Bucks. Mm-hmm. You think of, you know, Giannis. These are players that just stand out automatically in the front of your mind when you think about the East Coast. But when you look at the West Coast, like, I feel like it's a little bit more muddled because it's very much, like, more super team-ish, more, like, mm-hmm. one-man band situation. And the depth, like, really may come back to bite the Pacific Division if they don't, you know, if they don't have the depth, if they don't have those bench players that step up, if they don't have those, you know, other starting lineup people, like, actually, like, contributes a solid amount of points or assists or rebounds or defensive efforts. Like,
that is very true.
It's not heavily defined, I feel like, in the West. That everybody just does true. Everything. Yeah.
I like that take, too. I like that take. I'm with you. It's going to be a fun last few games, couple of weeks. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm nervous too. As a Lakers fan, I'm nervous. I'm sweating. I'm like, oh my God, they better come through, because you know that it sucks when they give
it's
you
been
so much
too long.
Hope. Yeah, and they're like, oh my God, they're winning. We actually got this. And then they're gonna
then they lose.
I'm gonna cry. I always end up crying towards the end of the season. So
we're so dedicated, so emotional.
Hopefully not this year. Yes, but you know what? Even if they don't make it, it's still gonna be fun to watch the Kings kind of make their way up there. It's gonna be fun to see KD with the Suns. It's gonna be fun regardless. So I'm excited for the finals, for the playoffs. Are you watching today's game?
The NCAA championship, or
yes, ma'am.
Of course.
Yay,
support
too.
Women in sports. Period.
Did you watch? Yesterday was it yesterday's? Yeah, yesterday.
Day before.
The right? day before Friday.
They had a day Friday. Off. Yeah, yeah. So I saw most of the first game, which was LSU. Kim Mulkey, you know, Coach Baylor. Mm. She's an interesting human being, but she's a great coach. Like, she is a winning coach. Nobody could take that away from her. So what she's done with the LSU team, I think, is insane. I think the Iowa situation was, like, a big upset. I didn't really see that coming. I know Caitlin Clark is, like, on her shit. Like, she's, like, she's on the GOAT talk. Like, that's who she is. And I'm, like, she about to prove everybody they really do win it all. I think it's going to be a super close game. No, it's going to be heavily. It's going to be. They may even go to overtime. Who knows?
You got to pick.
Oh, my God. I mean, I want to go with LSU just because they're players. Like, I can relate to their players. You know what I'm saying? Like, Iowa, yeah. I'm just like, Iowa. You know? Do you have a pick?
With you. I want LSU to win, but I feel like Iowa's going to win.
Yeah. It's painful that's to my say, thing. But Caitlin Clark is like a whole nother human.
Dude, I was like, okay. 40 points, cool. And I was like, oh shit, here she go again.
Again.
40. I'm like, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Like, she's
a real deal.
Super competitive, like a whole nother breed. And I give it to her. Good for her, because she's confident in herself. She will talk shit and she will back it up. And how can you not love that? Like, you know what I'm saying?
They make it so fun. So I'm excited for that too.
They do. So right. Sports going down. WNBA is around the corner. You know what I'm saying?
Draft is coming up. She's declaring, so that should be fun too.
I hope the best for her in the future.
Me too.
She's such a great person.
She's amazing. I feel like you just see her, she's just like so sweet. But yeah. Then you see her on the court and you're like, oh shit, never mind.
Exactly.
Let me back up. She could beat me. She could drop my ass. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, she looks like she's so sweet. Like, oh. Like
this upcoming like class of rookies. Yeah.
They're different. I feel like it's giving a different vibe, especially to the W. It's just like, we're good, we're ready. Like, let me talk my talk. Let me go into a franchise and kind of take over vibes. So I'm just, I'm feeling that. I'm
super excited for the upcoming season. Like, obviously, love the NBA. We love the NBA, but we're here to support the W just as much because they deserve it. So we will be talking about all our West Coast teams once they, you know, start up that season and get everything going, but definitely a lot to look forward to. Like,
very much.
Woo, when basketball is like, when March Madness is happening and the finals are coming up and draft, it's like basketball heaven.
It is. It's like you can't get enough of it. You got basketball going 24/7. So we're here to talk about it.
Exactly.
It's fun for us.
Period. It's fun. Stick with us, guys. Stick with us. But yes. I think we did it.
We covered everything. We're excited for the playoffs to come. Hopefully we get, we will. We will get a few more episodes in to maybe talk playoffs, talk finals, and hopefully one of our Pacific Division teams are on there. So we're excited about that. But thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Remember to subscribe to our podcast, I think it is. Like, you can add us, you can listen, you can download, do all that great stuff. Follow us on IG, follow our page, follow us personally, you know, support women in sports and all that good stuff. But thank you so much for listening. And that's about it.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Thank you. I was Leslie Torres with
Rana Marks.
We'll see you guys on the next episode.